Hey, you guys. Welcome back to Tomes of Terror, and this is going to be the first one of several kind of Halloween-related books that I'm doing leading up to, the big day, which is my favorite holiday of the year, obviously, as most of you guys know if you've been here for any length of time. So today, the one we're talking about, the author, C.V. Hunt, is actually the owner of Grindhouse Press. And from what I could determine, this is the first one of book of hers that I've read. She's kind of like known primarily for bizarro fiction. And I looked up, she has like some great, the titles of these, some of her former novellas are like so great. One of them is called Cock Block. And I was like, okay, I got to read that one. One is called How to Kill Yourself. And there's also one called Baby Hater, which is about, from the synopsis, it's apparently about an infertile woman who becomes a baby punching vigilante. And reading that, I was like, yeah, that's definitely on my must read. That shot right to the top of the list. I mean, that sounds amazing. But yeah, so I'll get around to that. However, the one we're going to be talking about today is her 2019 novella, Halloween Fiend, which obviously is one that I wanted to kind of dig into right around the lead up to Halloween, obviously. Now, this one is a little less out there conceptually. Like, it doesn't have any baby punching vigilante, sadly. But it's kind of cool because it's sort of like a very Halloween-y, like almost folk horror-y monster story kind of take on Shirley Jackson's classic short story, The Lottery, which I'm sure most of you, at least in the United States, I don't know if they still do, but we read it in school, and I kind of feel like a lot of people know it from that. So it's pretty short. It's only about 110, 112 pages, something like that. But the vibe of it really got me into the whole, like, October frame of mind. Now, I will say, though, that even though it is very Halloween forward, I'm not sure I'd call it, like, particularly fun or funny. Like, it's not, like, a horror comedy, or it's not, like, ooh, ooky spooky kind of, like, fun Halloween. It's kind of more, like, gloomy and sort of grim. And it also has a main character who's very fatalistic and like kind of passive, and it makes him like a little bit hard to root for, at least at first. So just know that going in. If you want something that's kind of more fun or like comedic in tone, this is probably not it. This one's like not really all that funny. So the story is actually set in a relatively modern, but a time period I couldn't really determine. Like, nobody seems to have computers or cell phones, for example, but people do seem to have landlines. So I was thinking 80s, but it doesn't really matter, like, in the course of the story. So it's set in this really small burg called Strang, as in strange without the E. Only about 100 people, like, are left in town. So, like, residents, if they die, for example, or if they move away, which nobody really seems to, then their houses just stay abandoned. That's just how it works. Now, there are a couple of essential businesses in the little downtown area. Like, there's a grocery store, there's a bar, there's a diner, but all of these are very sparsely patronized because, like I said, there's only 100 people and, you know, they just wander in and out. So usually there's not a lot of people, like, wandering around in the town or anything like that. So it's never made particularly clear how long the curse that hovers over this town has been going on. But it's apparently been going on long enough for, you know, the few dozen residents remaining to have become very complacent about it. And it's just kind of like, oh, well, this is our lot in life. And this just is what we have to do. We don't really like it, but, you know, they've just kind of like resigned themselves to it. So basically what the curse entails is that there's like a shape-shifting creature that terrorizes the town every night. And because of its habit of kind of going around reciting sort of Halloween adjacent phrases and rhymes, like trick-or-treat time rhymes, or other ones that are kind of like Halloween related, the townsfolk just call it Halloween. That's what they call it. Now, most people just see it as kind of like an ever-shifting, ever-moving blur. Like, you can't really get a good bead on what it looks like. But sometimes, every now and then, like, someone will catch a glimpse of what seems to be its true form, which I won't spoil, but it's just kind of like, I mean, the way it's described is, like, really, really cool. But most people just kind of see it as, like, something like that, you know what I mean? So every night, every household must put out a treat for Halloween. And this is in the form of a small animal, which the creature subsequently devours. So, yeah, if you're sensitive to hearing about guinea pigs and the occasional cat getting eaten by a monster, then, you know, just fair warning, go again, because a lot of that happens in this. You know, every night you got to put an animal out for it. This is done presumably to keep Halloween from feeding on any of the humans in town. However, though, once a year, on Halloween, All Hallows Eve, the town officials in Strang put on this big fall festival, and it's funny because they are all very, like, kind of fake cheerful about it, like, ooh, the fall festival, but then they kind of make it, like, low-key known that it's, like, you have to go, you know what I mean? Like, it's compulsory. So, you know, the festival has everything that a fall festival you would think has. It has, like, games and hay rides and food trucks and all that kind of stuff. However, at the end of the night, after the fun is over, somebody gets the dot, meaning that they get essentially randomly chosen to be sacrificed to Halloween. And this is what I meant when this is kind of like a tip of the hat to Shirley Jackson's The Lottery, because, you know, that's, I feel like everybody's read that story, but if you haven't, that's kind of what that is. You get a dot on a piece of paper, and that means you get stoned to death. Now, this annual ritual has been going on just pretty much for as long as anyone can remember, because at this point, like I said, not that many people get to move out, so there's like generations of people that have grown up with it. So the character through which we see this story unfolding is this kind of like overweight, middle-aged kind of dude named Barry Johnson. Now, his mother was actually taken by Halloween when he was just a kid, which was unusual. Usually Halloween, they have a deal with Halloween, like as long as they put the animals out and then they give him a person once a year, like he doesn't usually like pick off people at random at other times of the year, but for various reasons, like his mom got taken when he was just a kid. And ever since then, he's lived in his childhood home with his aging father, who's kind of like this cranky old coot who's confined to a wheelchair. And he's kind of one of those guys that it's like, he shuts off his oxygen tank so he can chain smoke, you know what I mean? And Barry's like afraid he's gonna blow the house up one day. It's that kind of dude. So Barry kind of works this dead-end job at the only grocery store in town, and also sort of low-key has a crush on this woman named Rhonda, who works as a waitress over at the diner, but he's like way too timid to ever do anything about it. Like, he never asks her out or anything like that. So he's kind of been going through the motions of this depressing life that he has. I mean, he works at a job he hates his coworkers. He cares for his dad, who just incessantly complains and berates him, and he has to raise this seemingly endless stream of guinea pigs, like, to feed to Halloween every night so that Halloween doesn't go on a rampage. He's also, as the story goes on, like, becoming more and more convinced that Halloween is taunting him specifically for reasons that he can't really begin to fathom. The day of the fall festival is fast approaching, though, and Barry is kind of dreading through, like, going through this whole ordeal again. Everybody does, because they know that at least one person is going to get the dot, but, you know, it's just kind of leading up to that. This year, though, a few things turn out differently than usual. For one thing, and I'm not going to spoil all the things that happen, but for one thing, the town council decides to bring in an outside company to set up some rides at the festival. Like, they never had rides at the festival before, and obviously nobody in town knows how to, like, set up carnival rides, so they had to, like, bring in an outside, an outside company to do it. And that means that there's going to be a handful of strangers in the town for the first time in ages and ages. Now, everybody in town kind of knows the rules. No one is supposed to tell outsiders about what's going on in the town. Like, even if they talk to their friends or relatives, like, outside of the town, like on the phone or whatever, like, that's just kind of like an understood thing that no one's supposed to tell anybody about Halloween or what goes on there. But in this case, things end up getting a little more complicated when Barry is cajoled for various reasons into housing two of the carnies that come there to set up the rides. And that's kind of like the inciting incident that, you know, leads to the climax. So, I mean, this was just a very, very short, suitably spooky, but like I said, more on the grim, depressing end, not like the fun, ooky, spooky end. But it is like very entertaining slice of Halloween goodness, you know what I mean? If you want something to get in the mood. Because it's so brief, there isn't a hell of a lot of character development, especially of kind of like a lot of the peripheral characters. And there also isn't much backstory given to the history of the town or why Halloween stalks this place specifically. Most of the story is actually kind of like the setup, like explaining like the deal and everything. I mean, you are seeing things through Barry's character like through the whole time, but a lot of it is just kind of like explaining, you know, what's going on, like why things are the way they are. So it actually, in that way, it kind of reads a little bit more like a fable. And, like, not too much. I don't want to go too far in that direction, but it is very, a little bit fable-like. And it actually does seem to be satirizing, at least to a degree, and I could just be totally reading this into it, so, you know, forgive me, but it seems that it's kind of satirizing the extent to which people can eventually become, like, compliant and maybe, like, apathetic towards any circumstance, even, like, a really horrific one, like the one that these townspeople are experiencing. Now, as I mentioned, the main character, Barry, isn't terribly sympathetic because he's just very brooding and resigned. But that's kind of, like, the point of the story, though. Like I said, I think that's at least kind of how I read it. And he does get a little bit more proactive, like, as the story goes on. So you do kind of start to root for him as shit starts to get worse and worse. Now, I will say, just as a little nitpick, there were some, like, grammatical errors in there, like a couple instances with differences between their T-H-E-I-R, like, being confused with T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E. Like, not many. I've read some that were, like, way worse than that. But this could have gone, like, a little bit more, like, fine-tooth comb in with, like, with the editor, because there were, like, a few grammatical errors, but not so many that it really, like, distracted me all that much. But I did notice it, so I will point it out. But overall, I'm going to say, like, if you're looking for just, like, a very succinct little shot in the arm of Halloween fun, like I said, it's not super fun, but, like, just Halloween story to put you in the mood for the season, then, you know, this one is absolutely worth reading, and I actually really enjoyed it quite a bit. So that'll do it for this Tomes of Terror. I will see you guys again for another Halloween book on the next one. Bye!